John chapter number 2.
And I'm going to preach to you for a few minutes. When you get everything set up there, Caroline, if you'll go to my office and in my desk, on the right-hand side, second drawer, I've got handkerchiefs. I'm going to need one of those. If you'll bring it to me. The Gospel of John chapter number 2. I'm thankful for the presence of the Lord this morning. And I sit up here and question whether I would even preach today. And I felt like the Lord just kind of spoke to me and said that you've worshipped me in spirit. Now it's time to worship me in truth. And so we'll do that. Got kind of an odd message this morning, but I think at least part of it fits in with what has been said already in Sunday school. In fact, I about had to shut Brother James down. He's trying his best to get on my message, and I needed to get him distracted and onto something else, but I just let him go ahead, I guess. And then Brother Mike said what he said, and that'll fit in just a minute. And so undoubtedly, this is what the Lord wants for us. And I didn't need all of them. Just one of them will be. I'll preach all morning. You give me all of them. We'll be here till supper time if I got a handful of handkerchiefs. All right, John chapter number 2. Let's stand for a second. Let's stretch our legs out. Thank you, Caroline. Amen. Thank God for the good singing. I was sitting at lunch yesterday with some folks that were actually here with us last Sunday night. I think it was last Sunday Brother Wesley preached for us, and they were here with us. And I was having lunch with some of them yesterday, and something was said about a piano player. And the man said, you know, I'll be honest with you. He said, y'all were a good way through your singing. He said, I didn't even realize y'all didn't have a piano player. He said, I didn't even realize it until my wife pointed it out. And that's just a testament of how good that God's being and how good that you're doing. I said with all honesty, my response was, I think that they're doing better now than they ever have. I think they're doing now. Now, that's not to say I don't want God to send us a piano player. But what I'm saying is I sure do enjoy this singing. Amen. Amen. You're doing a good job. All right. John chapter number 2, verse 1. You'll be familiar with our story as we start to read it. In the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And his mother answered unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested both his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. How good the Holy Spirit has been to us. And we worship you for that, and we praise you for that. And Lord, we pray you not leave us now, but give us a measure of preaching grace. We ask in Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated. A few weeks ago, I gave you a sermon out of John chapter number 1, entitled, May I Introduce You to Jesus Christ? And in that chapter, John takes us to the time that was before the beginning. Before the world was formed, before the sun ever shone in the sky, before the planets hung in their orbit, God was there and God's Son was there with him. He is from everlasting and he goes to everlasting. He has always been and he always will be. He is the everlasting God, the Alpha and Omega. Not only does John take us to the beginning, but he takes us to the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. In chapter number 1, we are introduced to John the Baptist as he preaches and proclaims the coming of the Lamb of God. In that same chapter, Jesus calls his disciples and some men begin to follow after him. Now, the Lord has led us back to John again this morning, this time to the beginning of chapter number 2. At this time, there are 6 men that have chosen to follow Jesus Christ. They are Andrew and his brother Peter, John and his brother James, Philip and his friend Nathanael, or who we believe is Bartholomew. And the Bible says that chapter 2 picks up 3 days after the calling of Nathanael, according to verse number 1. And let me say this just for interest's sake, and we'll move on. It is interesting that if you study John chapter 1, you'll find that there are 4 days mentioned. From the beginning of the questioning of John the Baptist to the calling of Nathanael, there are 4 days spoken of in chapter 1. Now, 3 days later, Jesus goes to this marriage in Cana of Galilee, and there he does his very first miracle, and he begins his earthly ministry. If you take 4 days in chapter 1 and 3 days in verse number 1 of chapter 2, that, if I'm doing my math right, totals up to 7 days. 7 in the Bible is the number of perfection, is it not? It's the number of completion, it's the number of perfection. And it is not, no doubt, without significance that these 7 days are mentioned in which the perfect Savior will do a perfect miracle, begin a perfect ministry that'll lead him up to Calvary, where he'll die a perfect death, take his perfect blood up to a perfect throne, and make a bunch of imperfect people holy in his sight. Hey, man, 7 days. All right, so at verse chapter number 2, 7 days after the questioning of John. That's not my message. My message is found in this marriage, this wedding in Cana of Galilee. You're familiar with the story, and I know why you're familiar with the story, and we may deal with that in just a minute. But the reason we talk about this chapter is not the real purpose or the point of this chapter, and there's something I want you to see. I want to preach for a few minutes this morning on this thought: attending a wedding with Jesus. Attending a wedding with Jesus. There are 4 things I'll show you from the text. Number 1, write it down. I want you to see the joyful Messiah. The joyful Messiah. Verse number 1 says, "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called," notice that, "and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage." It is interesting that the first place we find Jesus after his baptism is at a wedding. It seems as though that men like John the Baptist were kind of reclusive men. If I can understand John correctly, John probably did not like to be around people. He would come out of the wilderness and he would preach. He'd call them a bunch of snakes and call them to repentance, and he'd go back into the wilderness. He didn't much like being around people. But Jesus, on the other hand, was a man that enjoyed being around people. Through the 4 Gospels, we find Jesus at a wedding. We find him at a funeral. We find him playing with children. We oftentimes see him attending feasts and attending meals with congregations of people. In fact, it was these social gatherings that kind of ruffled the feathers of the Pharisees. They said in Matthew 9:11 to the disciples, "Why is it that your master eats with publicans and sinners?" That really bothered them. But with all that said, I do not think that it was a coincidence that we find Jesus at this wedding, and that it would be at this wedding that Jesus does his very first miracle. Now, when we think about weddings, we think of a joyous occasion, do we not? It is a celebration of 2 people that fell in love with each other and vowing their lives to each other. And they've got all of the world in front of them and all this love between them. And it's such a mushy time and everybody's happy. They get all dressed up. And if they do it right, they feed you something to eat when it's over with and a little bit of cake. It's a joyous occasion. And I believe the fact that Jesus was called to this wedding tells us something about our Messiah. In fact, there are 2 things I want you to notice. I believe this tells us something about the personality of our Savior. I just mentioned to you that Jesus enjoyed being around people. He enjoyed fellowship. But more than that, I believe we can conclude from him being at this wedding that Jesus was a happy man. Jesus was a happy man. Now, I understand that the prophet Isaiah would foretell that he would be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I get that, and that's very true. When he went to Calvary, Calvary was not a merry place. Calvary was a sorrowful place. And he was certainly acquainted with grief as he bore our sins and we bore our sorrows. He was esteemed and smitten of God and afflicted. He was definitely a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But I believe that beyond that, we can conclude and come to the idea that Jesus was a happy man. Now you say, preacher, what in the world does that have to do with anything? Well, I'm glad you asked. I felt like telling you about it this morning. I want you to be honest with me here for just a minute. We get the idea in our churches sometimes and in our religious circles that having fun equals sin. That's the way we think about it a lot of times, do we not? Don't look at me funny. I know I'm saying it right. I've been in church since I was 14 and I'm 40 now, and that's been a bunch of years. I know religious people. I am one of them. Religious people think if anything is too fun, there has to be sin involved somewhere. That's right. God, however, never intended for you or for me to go around with a serious and a sad look on our face all the time. Hey, the Bible says in Psalms chapter number 100 and verse number 1, it tells us that our worship here at church should be enjoyable. The Bible said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. When we get in here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, we might as well go ahead and enjoy ourselves. Amen. God saved us. He's taken our sins away. He's got us headed to a place called heaven. We've got something to be excited about. Hey, religion ought to be exciting. We ought to be happy about what we got. Bible tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 9 and verse number 9, that our marriages ought to be enjoyable. Oh, what about that? Solomon said, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity. You know what that means? It means we ought to be happy in our marriages. Amen. I'm not going to preach on it, but we ought not go around fussing and fighting and nagging and complaining. Solomon, this same Solomon, said, I'd rather dwell on the corner of a tiny roof than to dwell in a big house with an angry, nagging woman. Amen. That's exactly right. Hey, we ought to be happy and we ought to enjoy our marriages. Amen. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, verse number 12 and verse number 13, that we ought to enjoy our lives. The Bible said, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. Now watch this. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. You know what that means? That means if you're going to eat something, enjoy it. If you're going to do something, enjoy it. Have a smile on your face while you do some things. God has given you many good gifts. He's given you many good blessings. And I think we ought to enjoy them. Amen. That's right, friend. We ought to be happy. In fact, I'm going to be honest with you right here for just a minute. I think that the medicine that most people need for their lives this morning does not come from a pharmacy, but it comes from a heart overflowing with the joy of the Lord. The Bible said in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know what most of our problem is? We whine and we complain and we nag and we fuss and nothing's ever good and nothing's ever right and we always look on the sadder side of life. But Brother Mike, we ought to look on the sunny side of life and it would fix a lot of things that's wrong with us. If you'd just smile every once in a while, it would fix a lot of what's wrong with you. Amen. Hey. I think that we can take from this that our Lord was a happy man. Amen? A happy man. Watch this. Not only do I think we can learn something from Him being a happy man, But you think about something with me. Jesus, everywhere we find him in the Gospels, he's always got a crowd around him. Does he not? He's always got a crowd around him. Whether it's a bunch of kids that want to come play, and let me take a time out to say that's a testimony. Kids don't want to fool with somebody that's got an angry look on their face and real serious. If he wasn't smiling, and if he wasn't laughing, if he wasn't playing with them, they wouldn't have come to him so often. Whether it was a group of kids or whether it was a group of adults, our Lord usually had a crowd around him. In fact, on those occasions where he said, boys, let's go up in the mountains to a solitary place, we'll just rest and pray for a little while, they would much more get settled down, and he would look over the horizon and here would come another crowd. Could it be, now you'll have to come here with me for just a minute. Could it be that it was the fact that Jesus was enjoyable to be around, that people so often wanted to be around him? Amen. Oh, now what about this? The Bible said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have a mean, ugly, serious look on your face all the time. No. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another. You know what I think would be one of the greatest testimonies for this church and for your life and for my life? I think it would be this. I think it would be the fact that we enjoyed church. We enjoyed our salvation. We enjoyed getting to live a life that's pleasing in the sight of God. We just really liked doing what we did. And if we really liked doing what we're doing, coming where we're coming, going to church where we're going, being saved, if we really liked it, I wonder if we wouldn't just draw some people along with us. Amen. You know, it's good for us to go out and, hey, I'm from Northside Baptist Church. I'd like for y'all to come visit. That's good. It's good to share a sermon on Facebook and say, y'all ought to hear this sermon. Our preacher's crazy. You never believe what he said this Sunday. That's good. That's okay. But I read a statistic this week. Do you know what the statistic said? By a far and away margin, the number one way for people to get others into church was by you bringing a friend with you. This is good, this works, but you getting excited about being saved and excited about this church, that'll get more people here than anything else. Amen. Jesus was a joyful man, and you and I, we should enjoy our life. Hey friend, I feel like saying this, you only get to do this thing one time. And time doesn't slow down. I'll be the first to testify, time doesn't slow down. It goes fast, friend. One day you'll wake up and you'll be bald-headed like me. I hope you don't, but one day you will. Hey, I'll be honest with you. It doesn't seem like that many days ago that I was Caroline's age and I was in high school and I was doing some of the things. Just seemed like yesterday, and I bet there's some of you that have gray hair that could say, preacher, it seemed like just yesterday I was your age and now I've got children that are your age. Hey, it goes quick. Might as well enjoy it while we're here. Amen. Might as well enjoy church. We're only getting to go to heaven and have our sins forgiven. Amen. Might as well enjoy our salvation. God gave it to us. He paid a good price to give it to us. Shed his own blood. Ought to be excited about it. Amen. All right. So I see a joyful Messiah. All right. Let's shift gears here for a minute. Not only do I see a joyful Messiah, number two, I see a judging mother. I see a judging mother. Now, when we hear that, Nope. All right. We ought to be happy. Let me back up. We ought to be a happy people. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning and you face something, and the devil has put you in a place where you feel like you can't be happy or you don't want to be happy. Maybe let me ask you this question. When was the last time you were happy? When was the last time you had a smile on your face? You enjoyed what you was doing. When's the last time, sir, ma'am, that you as a couple held hands and laughed and smiled and enjoyed life? When's the last time you played with your children and it wasn't a burden and it wasn't a nag? It was you enjoying your children because they're little and you've got them. When's the last time you come to church and you were happy to be here and you smiled when you came, you smiled during the service, and you smiled when it was over with?
Amen.
I remember what Nehemiah said to the children of Israel after they rebuilt those walls, and he stood before them, Brother Earl, and he said, "Don't weep today, don't cry today." He said, "Because the joy of the Lord is your strength." God wants you to smile. I'm done. I wonder if somebody wants to come pray this morning. Don't let the devil rob you of your joy. Maybe you want to come pray because he's taking your joy away. Maybe you want to come pray and just thank him. Just say, "Lord, I'm just so glad to be here today. I'm just so glad for everything." You start looking around your life and I start thanking God for the things that he's given you. And you know what will happen? That inside will start to stir and move. You'll have a different outlook on some things.
Amen.
You'll have a different outlook on some things. Thank God for being good to us.
Amen.
Boy, I'm going to join you down here after I give this invitation. People are coming from all over the building. How about a joyful Messiah? Let's look on the sunny side of life. A merry heart doth good like a medicine. It'll fix what ails you. Y'all pray. I'm going to pray.